JetCast Nation, welcome to episode 22. I am Pat, that's Ray. It's been a little while since we talked to you guys, so we have a bunch of things we need to break down. First off, though, I want to introduce our new sponsor, SeatGeek. Use code JETCAST at checkout, that's JETCAST at checkout, and you'll get $20 off your first order. Ray, it's been a little while. How you been?
Good. Got the baby. So,
yes, you're back from paternity leave.
Sleepless nights. That doesn't stop, the news cycle from going. So we got a lot to catch up on.
Yep. So, the first thing I want to talk about is the schedule. The schedule came out after our last video. Mm-hmm. What were your first thoughts in looking at it? I know we have, our first Monday night season opener in over a decade against the mm-hmm. Bills. I have us with at least more than 11 wins. I think we're going to split with the Bills, sweep Miami, sweep the Pats. One of the things that...
Sweeping the Pats.
And I also want to point out that we are going to have less travel. Because we play the Giants and it's technically an away game. And the mm-hmm. AFC has the extra game this year, so we have 10 games at MetLife. Even though one of them is technically an away game, it's not really going to be an away game.
Right.
What did you think when you first saw the schedule?
It's wild because when I first... We did a stream not too long ago and I said if I ever had the option to choose a home opener or the first game of the year, I would choose probably New England or one of the easier teams, considering that we have a lot of moving parts, a new offense that we're going to be installing. So, of course, we get Buffalo right off the bat, the one team that I said I did not want to face. But, hey, we're getting thrown into the gauntlet right away. I mean, the schedule to start off the year is not – first of all, a lot of Jet fans think that New England's a cakewalk. I know you just said that we expect to sweep them. How about we get one win against them? It's been like – it feels like it's been 10 years. Start off at home against Buffalo. Then we go to Dallas, home to New England, home to Kansas City. And then even though Denver sucked last year, we always seem to struggle on the West Coast. And then we're home to Philly. And then we're technically at the Giants. So you're facing...
You got a bye week and then the Giants.
Yes. You're facing potential playoff teams, and then we're home to the Chargers. So until we get to the Las Vegas Raiders, you're facing one team that's not a playoff team in New England. That's it. Buffalo, Dallas, Kansas City. Oh, wait, Denver. So Denver. I meant to say Denver and New England. So you have Buffalo, Dallas, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and the Giants. So and then the Chargers. So you have six out of your first eight games most likely against playoff teams. So
there's no time. Yeah, it definitely starts off hard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at the schedule and you realize that Aaron Rodgers is on the team now, it feels a lot less of a mountain to climb, at least from my perspective. You know, in the past, we'd be looking at this and, you realize how bad of a gauntlet it is. But once you have Aaron Rodgers on the team, you know, I think every game we should be in at least every game. And with the defense, I expect the defense to be even better than it was last year. But before the bye week, I could see us beating the Bills, Pats. If we're 3-3 at least by the bye week, I think I'd be happy with that. I don't expect, Kansas City at home and, the Eagles at home will be tough, but at least we're in our own building.
Yeah, and considering, if you're going into, what are you figuring? You're figuring win at Buffalo, hopefully a win at Dallas, win at New England. You're going to probably lose. We'll see. Say I give us a loss to New England. If you win against Buffalo, you win at Dallas, lose to New England and Kansas City, you're 2-2. If you could win at Denver, you guarantee yourself at least 500 going into the bye. That Denver game is an absolute must win. Mm-hmm. And even I feel like week one's almost a must win. And I hate to say that because I'm not usually one of those fans that do or die with early season scheduling. But if you lose to Buffalo, the gauntlet we are facing the next 6 out of 7 weeks is brutal. And, you know, that your win against Buffalo, all of a sudden you feel like you could beat any team.
I think it depends also on the game. If it's a complete blowout, then yeah, it's, you know, a 5-alarm fire. But if it's a tight game and we lose by a, you know, by a field goal at the end of the game or in overtime and something like that, then I can live with the loss knowing
right.
That, you know, we played, you know, probably the top team in the AFC and stood toe to toe with them. If we beat them, then fantastic. But you know, I think it also depends on how that game goes.
Right. Well, we almost beat Buffalo last year with, you know, Mike White.
Right. Right.
And Joe Flacco and that quarterback carousel back there. So adding Aaron Rodgers, I mean, think about how we lost to the New England Patriots.
It was all defense. I mean, we kept Buffalo in check because of the defense, and the offense right. did enough. You know, the that last drive, right? That last drive was a three or four running plays, and it was the same running play, like back to back to back. So, you know, it was definitely the defense that kept us in the game, and the offense just, you know, just did enough to win. You know, and the same thing with the game in Buffalo. The offense just came up short, and Mike White ended up with a few yep. less ribs by the end of the game, and had to be, you know, carried off the field. So, okay. So, you know, tough schedule, but you know, everybody's, you know, it's not like we're the only ones with a tough schedule. Everybody in the AFC East is facing the AFC West this year and the NFC East. So you know, everybody's going to be on a level playing field. Again, I think we get at least north of 11 wins and you know, possibly fighting to
that's gonna be tough.
To win the division. I know it's going to be tough, but you know, with Aaron on the team, I think anything is possible. And right. I think the defense should be just as good, if not better, than last year. So, I mean, we kept teams to, you know, 20 points and under consistently throughout last season. I know the competition is tougher this year. But those are games you should win with, even just with a competent offense, a competent quarterback. So we'll see. I can see a trap game at the end with that Thursday night game at the Browns. So
Browns might be fighting for something too at that time, though.
Right, and with it being on a short week, I could see a trap game there. But you know, we'll see. You know, speculating this early on a schedule is always tough.
Yeah, well, one or two injuries could change how the, you know, the outlook of a game looks.
Exactly. So, moving on to Quinnen. He's not at OTAs. Understandable. I think he's scheduled to make $9.5 million. This is his fifth year option that the Jets picked up. You know, technically the Jets don't have to do anything. They have 2 years of franchise tags if they really wanted to, you know, put his feet to the fire. But I think for his sake and for the fans' sake, he deserves an extension. I think he wants. I've been seeing 20 plus million. I've seen 25 plus million. I've seen that the money has already been worked out. It's a matter of how many years. They're also trying to redo Aaron's contract at the same time. I think we're at 18 million right now under the cap. What are your thoughts?
Remember, we still have the draft class to sign, but I seen today.
They're almost done signing the draft class.
Yeah, I seen today that a couple of people were saying that the contract's almost done with Quinnen. We'll see. The reason why I'm hesitant to go along and say, okay, let's just do the franchise tag thing, is because that automatically goes right to your cap. There's no playing around with that money. So if you're going to franchise tag him at $20 million next year, that's straight $20 million. There's no, like, you could bonus it to try to make it a lesser mm-hmm. cap hit and move it along. Also, what I don't understand is so many Jet fans out there are like, well, maybe we'll get 2 first-round picks for him. We drafted him 3rd overall, hoping he would turn into the player that he has now. You take care of your own. I don't understand this obsession with, we have Darrell Revis, you got to trade him. You know, like, keeping our own talent. We got rid of Leonard Williams. He goes to the Giants and becomes a Pro Bowler over there because we didn't want to pay him. It's like, we finally have a guy that has worked out, one of the leaders of this defense. And if you don't think that he matters way more than the statistics, go look at what happened in that Buffalo game when he was off the field. It was night and day because teams know on their offense that they have to scheme against him. You can't leave him one-on-one, which frees up the guys on the outside. And that's why we drafted guys like Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson to get after the quarterback on the outside on those one-on-ones. Without Quinnen, they're not going to be nearly as effective. I'm in the camp of paying him. We have the money towards next year. And if you make it a long enough contract, maybe you add a void year or two, and you could extend it out where you got to make him happy. You don't want him not showing up. It's rub, you know, and him being a cancer in the clubhouse. Not saying he would, but he's not, already not showing up for OTAs. So we already seen this saga before with Revis, how he didn't show up. It caused a little friction in the locker room.
Well, he didn't show up to training camp. It was a little different. Right. You know, they really dragged that. He, you know, that got really dragged out.
It'll be interesting to see if Quinnen would be willing to drag that out.
I don't know. I don't think he's the type, from what I've seen and what I've read on him, you know, he doesn't seem like the person that would do that. I feel like he is more of a team guy than, say, Revis was, at least in that instance. I don't know. I'm in the camp, too, where they got to pay him. They just got to get it done and move on. He's homegrown. Everybody loves him. He's got. You know, the numbers and the production to back it up. He's the best player on the defense outside of Sauce Gardner.
And that's even questionable.
Right.
That's how great he is.
Yep. Aaron at camp.
Loving the videos.
I know. Every time the Jets drop something, I'm fawning over it, turning it into content. I'm doing everything I can, man. Every single video, I can't get enough. The fact that he's even at camp is huge. You know, him not going to OTAs for years at in Green Bay. Today, I'm seeing the videos of him at a Taylor Swift concert. So he's definitely living his best life right now. Bam Knight was on Good Morning Football yesterday, I think it was, saying that he's basically like another coach in the room. You know, he mentioned that during one of the first meetings during the install of the offense, he's actually sitting up in the top row of the auditorium. No one knew he was there, and he starts quizzing guys on the actual routes and decisions that they would have to make. So that just is insane that he's putting in the time. He wants to make sure everybody's on the same page. He's bringing in accountability, a player accountability that has been lacking for a long time. You know, he's going into huddles and he's telling guys to get their shit together. And it's something that I love to see. It seems like he's all in. I was questioning whether he would be all in, but he's all in.
You know, we don't have the young quarterback thing. How many years do we tweet, whether it's Sam Darnold or even back with Mark Sanchez and
there
and
isn't Zach a question Wilson. Now. There isn't a question at quarterback.
Right.
For he's the first time the since Chad Pennington.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to go to the coach and say, well, what do we do here? Like, how many – we saw that we all fawned over that last year. We saw it in training camp, Zach Wilson asking questions. Well, this happens, and Mike Flores is like, well, he's eating it up. He's learning, yada, yada, yada. It's so nice to say, no, the players are going to ask the quarterback what the hell's going on, not reverse.
Right. And I saw a lot of things that alluded to he's going to be highly involved with Hackett in setting up the game plan. You know, he is basically another, he has so much experience, so much knowledge. He's basically another coach. And, you know, the players are certainly feeding off of it. One interesting thing, just kind of on a side note, I saw today that Jimmy Garoppolo failed his physical. in Vegas. Bullet dodged, I think. Yeah, bullet dodged, I think. I know they were kicking the tires a little bit on Jimmy G, but he was some sort of metal plate in his foot, and there is now a clause in his contract where they can get out of it if he has an injury to that foot.
Or if, I think if he, they can like cut him with almost no repercussions for two games into the season, something like that. That is just wild. Well, we all knew Jimmy G was made of glass. The guy's been made of glass. He's missed a ton of time, a ton of games over the last few seasons. So it's not like you can get him and say, oh, he's got a clean bill of health, everything's going to be great. It's not like that with him. Guys that are like that are just always injured. They always have something nagging. And it turns out, I believe what I read was, he supposedly was told that he didn't have a Liz Frank injury. He had an injury to his ankle. And now when he went to the Raiders, supposedly he does have that injury and it may actually require surgery. So he's pissed off because the 49ers originally told him, no, you don't need surgery. This is going to heal through physical therapy, yada, yada. And basically cost him 5 to 6 months of recovery time after the surgery would have happened to go into OTAs and training camp. Now he's going to miss a ton of time.
Yeah, and now the surgery apparently is not the surgery apparently was not, from what I'm seeing, not done in a proper way to keep the ankle in a stable, I'm looking for the words, but the surgery wasn't done in a way that is it's not gonna, it may not hold up, and that's why he failed the physical. So it's just,
it's like Carlos Correa.
I was literally gonna say the exact same thing. It's like the Carlos Correa decision. The Mets dodged a bullet on that one.
To be he's out now. Carlos Correa. Yes, he is out, and he's got the foot injury. It's creeping in. Turns out the Mets may have dodged a major bullet there.
All right. So DeAndre Hopkins got cut.
Yes.
The Cardinals are eating, I think, $22 million in dead cap to cut him, which is just bananas.
Wonder how Kyler Murray feels about that.
Who cares?
Well, they gave him a massive contract not too long ago.
He previously said that he is not interested in the Jets at all, but that was before Aaron Rodgers was on the team. So I could at least logically see that his opinion may change on that. A guy like him, it will depend on really money. That's what it's going to depend on. Unless he's another guy that figures, you know, I'm getting older and I want a championship, and maybe the Jets are an avenue for that. He would clearly be an upgrade over Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. The question is if they can make the money work and whether he is willing to kind of backtrack or, you know, move away from his comments previously on wanting to be on the Jets.
Yeah, well, you know what? Everybody thought Becton was a guarantee to be a Jet, and then all of a sudden the Ravens came out of nowhere. You think, you know, we saw the similar thing with Calais Campbell. He was scheduled to Odell Beckham.
Beckham. Oh, I thought you said Becton. I was like, wait a minute.
No. Beckham. Well, maybe I did. Beckham. Odell. I meant to say Beckham. Same thing with Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell wanted to win a championship, come in ring shopping, and he signs with the Lonely Falcons. But I will say this. I know a lot of Jet fans are hyped about potentially getting Hopkins. Last year, he only played 9 games, but he tied his career low for receptions, yardage per reception. Not saying he's, you know, lost it, but it's a concern for me. The steroids that he took is actually, I believe it's completely banned in the United States, even for like regular use.
Oh, really?
So like there's no like, yeah, Paul and I were talking about it earlier today. There's no like, oh, I accidentally took it, I ate it in something. No.
Right. Yeah. No, it is
deliberately taken. And usually when guys get into their 30s, if they feel they lost a step, maybe he did that. I mean, he's one suspension away from losing an entire season. And I don't know. It's just, I understand you can cut Corey Davis, saves you $10.5 million, but I'm hearing he wants some crazy guarantee money over multiple years. It's just something that scares the hell out of me. Right. I don't think he's as fast as he once was. Obviously, he's got great hands. We all know that. It'd be really enticing to see him opposite side Garrett Wilson and Lazard in the slot, but He's
character issues there. Character issues there too. I think you got to take if someone, right. I would rather keep Corey and keep the locker room, the way it is than bring in someone like Hopkins, with even though he is such a talent, we may not need him based on the talent we already have at wide receiver.
I also don't want it to sacrifice in other areas. If you're going to say he's going to get a 3-year deal at $16 million per with 32 guaranteed. If he's lost a step, you're stuck with him the following season. Hmm. Corey Davis, you get out from after this year. You know, when I see a guy that's in their 30s, even if they're early 30s, they just turned 30, and they get caught taking steroids, that tells me in their head that they've lost a step. You know who did that? And I know we're cross-referencing sports, but Robinson Cano did that.
Right.
Look at him before and after. And what's funny is his last year with the Mets, before they cut him and paid his salary, he was having a great year. Then, boom, he gets hit for steroids again. Players don't just take steroids to get an edge randomly. It's when they feel that they've lost a step and they're trying to either pressure of a contract or their reputation throughout the league. That scares the hell out of me. And nobody knows. We can sit here and speculate all we want. Nobody knows the kind of player he's going to be coming back from steroids. How long was he doing it? Did he do it all last year? Was he doing it the year prior and just got caught this year? We don't know. But his statistics say that he tied the lowest yards per reception last year at 11.2. And then he gets hit with steroids. So is he really on the decline? It's hard to say, but that's not a chance that I'm necessarily willing to take for that kind of money. Now, if you're telling me you're going to bring him in an Odell Beckham contract, 1 year, $15 million with a bunch of incentives, and you're going to cut Corey Davis, that's one thing. But guaranteeing more than 1 year for me would be off the table.
No, I agree. I think the risk is a little too much there.
Rich.
Too rich. I think he's going to probably ask for too much money. I think he'll be probably a cancer in the locker room. I'm good with where we're at right now. I am not worried. I'd rather spend the money to get Quinn inside, to get Aaron reworked, and go right into the season. All right, guys, so that's all we have for you today. I want to thank Ray for giving his time today. I know you're very busy with the newborn.
Very busy. But
what?
Wednesday night, we have not released it yet. We have a great, great guest. And once he's confirmed on Monday on Twitter Spaces, 7 to 9, if you're not following us, JetCast Pod on Twitter. We'll also post it on Facebook. And maybe I'll have Pat put in the description of this video as well.
I'll put it in the description of the video.
Just the link. You do not have to even have a Twitter account to join. You could just click it and go into the listener spot. This gentleman covers all national NFL teams. He's going to be a great guest, get some great insight, and it's going to be interesting to see what the perspective from outside of the division might be on the Jets. We're all clamoring, saying we're going to win 10, 11, 12 games. Does everybody else in the league really believe that? And what are reporters saying around the league? So it's going to be some great insight. Make sure you tune in Wednesday, 7 to 9.
Awesome. That's going to be Wednesday, May 31st. If you're new here, please give us subscribe. If you like our content, like the video, follow us on Twitter, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, everywhere, at JetCastPod. And don't forget our new sponsor, SeatGeek, JetCast at checkout, gets you $20 off. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Go Jets.